Welcome. You've got podcast. The Kid Craddock in the Morning podcast is a condensed version of the show. Go to kidnation.com for more kid content. Kid Craddock in the Morning.
So the other day on Facebook, I posed a question. It was because of this story that I saw that just made me feel so inadequate as a man. It was a story about this guy in Maryland who had a boat accident. Let me find it here. Hold on. I'm scrolling. Sorry. Where's my prep?
It's at the top.
It's at the top.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me that before I get all the way to the bottom. You're just watching
your
me.
Your fault.
Just watching me scroll all the way
you
to the bottom.
You didn't know you were looking for him.
Yeah, here it is. Okay. A man swims 5 hours to save family after boat capsizes off Maryland coast.
Wow.
So this guy has a wife and two kids, and his boat capsizes in a storm off the eastern shore of Maryland. John Riggs climbed rocks along the shoreline in the dark after swimming for 5 hours and knocked on the door of the first house he saw after swimming 3 miles.
Holy smokes.
He came to the right house, said Angela Bird. She found him outside soaking wet and barefoot. He said, I've been swimming since sundown and I need help. Imagine the whole time you're swimming, you're thinking about your wife and your two kids.
Alone in the dark.
Alone in the dark, holding on to a boat. Hoping that sharks aren't around them. Every nightmare that you've ever had. And for your own safety, as you're swimming, wondering if you're going to... You can't see shore. You don't know how far away it is. You have a vague recollection.
But you're going to remember where
you're going a different direction than the way you went out in the boat. So he's thinking it might be over here.
Horrifying.
And just keeps swimming. Just not knowing what was going on with them while I was gone. That was the hardest thing, he said. It was getting nasty and blowing harder. So there's a massive storm going on. A Maryland State Police helicopter hovered above the boat as firefighters from Deal Island, Mount Vernon, and Fairmount pulled alongside the Coast Guard on the scene. But all that happened because they didn't know that boat was out there until he got to shore 5 hours later.
Mm. Golly.
Aren't you just kind of sure that they're not going to be there if you're the dad? It took me 5 hours.
And you got to make that decision, though. They're out there, and you're like, do I stay here with them to make sure they're okay?
Well, he had his 3-year-old son, his 70-year-old father, and his 9-year-old granddaughter, a fourth grader visiting from the San Francisco Bay Area. So it's these five people, and they cling to the side of the boat. They were getting stung in the dark by jellyfish.
Yeah.
And one of the little girls said, I've never been so happy to see search boats in my life. It took him 5 hours. He had to stop and grab a crab pot buoy and rest and then swim the rest of the way. The 9-year-old niece, Emily, calls him a real hero. And she added, the next time the family goes fishing, I'm not going unless it's really shallow. That's what she said.
And really close to the coast.
Yeah.
And whenever I see a story like that, I try to project and put myself in that situation. Could I... So we're hanging on the boat, right?
Yeah.
Got grandpa, granddaughter.
I got
a 3-year-old.
And you're the only one.
I misspoke earlier and said the wife was there. She was not.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one who's capable of making it to shore. So I have to go.
And if
how long is your goodbye? When you're holding onto this boat, it's pouring down rain, and you're like, this boat's going to go under if I don't go do something. How long is your goodbye to these people that you love? Because you pretty much know you're never going to see them again.
You can't be thinking. That's not what you're thinking. You got to think.
He didn't think that.
This isn't a goodbye. This is I'll see you in a couple hours.
Like, it's not an option. It's like that kind of willpower.
Because you asked me to swim for 5 hours right now, there's no way.
No way.
No way I can do it.
But if your son and wife are sitting there.
But if it's my son, my wife, and my dad, and my niece, or granddaughter, whatever it is, I guarantee you I could swim in 10 hours if their life is on the line.
I had a trainer that was helping me lift weights and stuff.
Yeah,
and that's kind of a wimpy way to put it, isn't it?
Helping you,
but I'm not trying to be a big shot
because you
would look at me and you'd be like, "Yeah, sure, you have a trainer. sure, you work out." But
trainer/therapist, that's what they are, right?
So to get those, apparently it's the last few ones that you do that are the hardest, right?
Few reps, yeah.
Yeah, the last few reps are the hardest, and so he would be like, "Pretend you're lifting up a car off someone that you love, you know," and it would actually. Help me, like, I could envision that and do it.
It's like some people call it phantom spotting.
Phantom spotting.
Because you can put, if you're lifting a bar up and it has a bunch of weight and you feel like you can't do it, but somebody puts their hands underneath it, you automatically think, oh, he's helping me. He might not be touching it.
It's not any lighter, but you think it is.
He might not even be pushing up on it. But just the fact that he's touching it, it gives you that extra oomph to do it. It's
and
the
so
same thing.
We've seen people have been able to pick up cars off of off of people. Yeah. You know? Like, two people could lift a car up who could never lift that kind of weight.
Man, those guys.
Those two men picked my Fiero up out of the mud.
Did they?
And it was bogged down at the Darlington racetrack.
That's a little different.
My Fiero.
I couldn't believe it. They picked that Fiero up.
Fiero was made out of plastic. Yeah,
Superhuman
life wasn't
strength.
On the line or anything. Yeah. It's just kind of in the mud.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have got mud buggies.
NASCAR.
I didn't. I parked in the field, but it rained. And when I came back, it was a mud puddle.
All right.
The fine automobile right there, the Fiero.
Didn't you win that car?
No, my daddy was a used car dealer, and he had me driving a red Fiero not once, but twice.
Nice. They only made it in one color. It was like red.
It was just red.
Yeah, I had two of them.
So I posted this story on Facebook, and I said, does anybody else have a heroic husband, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't get any stories that were like, he, you know, saved me from a burning house or anything like that. But some of the stories I got were so cool, I thought they could be a feature of their own. Here's a letter from Lauren. Her husband is John. And she said, my husband's a hero in a somewhat unique way. When I first started dating my husband, he took me to his work, a geriatric nursing facility. I wasn't used to being surrounded by the elderly, and it was very awkward and uncomfortable for me. A lot of those patients had Alzheimer's, dementia. And when I saw how loving he was to these people, it just touched my heart. He was so excited to introduce me to each and every patient. One patient, an elderly woman, 104 years old. Took me aside and spent a half an hour telling me what a wonderful man my husband is. She said that she was blessed to have him as her nurse.
Wow.
And that he was the reason that she was still alive today.
Wow, that's cool.
Not because he did anything heroic, but because he spent time with her. And isn't that nice?
That's beautiful.
She's on the phone with us right now. Hi, Lauren. Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry. There you are. Hi, Lauren.
Oh, hi.
Hi. So I'm reading your letter here. Now, you know your husband did not save your life or anyone else's, technically, and yet you wrote me anyway. Why?
Yeah. I just feel like my husband, every day, he's been a geriatric nurse since he was 18, and I feel like every day he kind of saves lives. I know that they're kind of, like, already towards the end of life, so he kind of takes it tough and... you know, every day if you know, somebody is about to pass away, he's always going into, you know, he's got to help them as much as possible.
Man, I have so much respect for that.
I do too.
That position. I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, all you're looking for is somebody to be tender and give them dignity and loving at the end. And I've watched people, when my dad was sick, I watched the caretakers that I paid outrageous hourly fees to come and not give a crap about him, really. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking to see.
They get desensitized to it.
Yeah, they just don't care. They're just like, okay, this one's going to die, and I'll move on to the next one. And anybody that doesn't think like that, I really respect.
And I don't know, and it's wonderful. I don't know how I tried to do the hospice care, just reading. I mean, obviously, I don't have medical background to take care. And it was so painful, you know, because and I couldn't handle it. I have so much respect for those that can be gentle and emotional, but still able to do it, because it's just so heartbreaking.
And for this guy to have done it since he was 18.
Yeah.
When you're 18, you're thinking about one person. That's you.
Yeah.
You know? And for this guy.
And get some girls.
That's really, that's
cool.
Really cool.
It's like being a special ed teacher or something
it's
like
really
that.
Cool.
It's a different calling. So she goes on to say, Lauren goes on to say, I know many husbands are heroes to their wives, but mine is, especially to me. I admire his love and passion for his job, and that he is not only my hero, but the hero of all of his patients as well. Cool letter, Lauren. Thank you for writing it.
Lauren?
Sorry to bother.
You got a great guy. Sorry to bother. Hang on to him.
You got a good guy. Just wanted to point it out and let everybody know. Lauren and John. Yeah. Where do you guys live?
In Austin.
Austin. Awesome. Good to have you listening.
All right. Thanks.
Not sure how you're listening, but good to have you listening.
Probably internet.
I had a girl approach me at the mall and tell me that you guys, and I wasn't part of the show really at the time, that you guys were her heroes. And I don't know if you know the update on this, but it was a girl that you had met her and her twin sister, and they had come up here. She came up to me at the mall the other day and was just raving about how she had to move when she was a child with her twin sister and had listened to her show her whole life. She was probably my age or maybe closer to 30. And she said that she'd come up here and that you kid brought him inside the studio and it was really cold outside. And she just went on and on about how wonderful and how much you guys meant to
her. How nice is that?
And she goes, and I just, you know, I want you to know, I'm not sure if they know, but that same twin sister of mine passed away in a car accident.
Oh my gosh.
At Christmas of last year.
Oh.
And I, I did something inappropriate here because I was so struck by it that, I mean, I'm standing in Neiman Marcus and it made me start crying her and I didn't know what to say. And she was like, will you just pass along to everyone like that? It was just the best memories
I'm racking my I'm racking my brain, Jenna. Yeah. And
she was like, you guys were our childhood and life. And it moved me so much. Wow. And that's not even really attributed to me at all. But I thought maybe you guys would like the update on that.
Now, when she came up here with her twin, was she a kid then or a grown-up?
I think she said it was about 6 or 7 years ago.
They were grown-ups. I do remember because we brought them in from another town for the weekend because she's like, my sister and I can't remember
the exact... No, you did not bring them in. There was a snowstorm. She said they drove down here because they had always wanted to see you guys. Yeah. Al actually invited them to go to a movie.
Wow.
And then I think he didn't show up.
Which one did he hit on?
Yeah,
man.
Way
to go. But you know what? That's part of the memory.
It was snowy.
You guys really...
Real.
You know what? There's always an opportunity and triumph for Al to be a douchebag, which is awesome.
But it was just really... I've meant to tell you guys that, and I thought you would like to know, because she just couldn't stop talking about how...
How Al didn't show up.
She listens to us and hears you guys, that it makes her think of her twin sister.
Very nice.
I was...
Al, does that warm your heart?
Yeah. Doesn't
it special place.
And then I was a crying mess in the mall alone, and Al.
And Al didn't show up.
Some things never change, but it's consistent.
The Kid Nation app. Hear the show and watch it 24/7 on your iPhone or Android. Get it in the App Store right now. Kid Craddock in the morning.
What?
What?
I just laughing, Kelly. Kelly's so funny to me.
What's it?
I don't care. I'll call him. We're talking about off the air. We're talking about Matt Nathanson so randomly, and
the artist.
The artist. And
he's a Mormon.
Apparently, he's a Mormon because I'm not going to argue.
Kid said he's not a Mormon. I said, but he told me he was a Mormon. He told us he was a Mormon. I thought. Because Kid asked him about the holy underwear, and it was like, oh, we can't talk about.
I've hung out with Matt Nathanson quite a bit, and there's nothing about Matt Nathanson that strikes me as a Mormon. So it's never come up.
Boy.
Yeah, I don't
Kelly, remember. Oh, I thought I had
Kelly, you better,
too,
you better hang your hat on this one. You better
I am hanging my hat on it.
Maybe it's the other guy that kind of reminds me.
I just Googled Matt Nathanson Mormon, and not one thing comes up that says Matt Nathanson is a Mormon. But that doesn't mean he isn't, I guess. I'm surprised by that.
Wow. Matt Nathanson.
He could be.
Because I was so, like, into him. So I would remember things like that.
Yeah.
All right, not saying anything on that.
Anyway.
Come on, get higher.
Oh, God, that was one of the sexiest performances we ever had in the studio.
You like him, huh?
Could you, I love the beard.
If he was, could you hook up with a Mormon?
Are you sure you're not thinking about Brandon Flowers from The Killers?
I'm sure. I know Brandon Flowers is, too.
See, I didn't know that either. I know Las Vegas has a huge population of LDS people, but I didn't know he was one of them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love Matt Nathanson.
Yeah, this came because we're going to talk about the Pope later and how he is offering absolution through Twitter. Which,
I don't know.
Just the Pope being Twitter.
It's really kind of confusing.
I get it now. I understand it.
You get like purgatory points or something.
Yeah.
Which is still weird.
Purgatory points.
Yeah, yeah, like if you follow him on, if you tweet,
oh gosh,
and
even
retweet,
when I die, even in death, they're going to be monitoring my social networking.
Yeah.
Well, do you think I'm going to get an email?
You don't spend as long, and I don't understand purgatory.
Look, I'm Catholic, but I am really, really hesitant.
Oh, here you go.
Because I'm afraid I'm going to say something that's not quite right, and every Catholic in the world is going to just.
Well, I'll definitely say something that's not right because I'm not Catholic.
Here you go, kid.
Yeah.
Matt Nathanson, his father is Jewish, so Jenna, you're in, and his mother is Catholic.
Okay, perfect.
What do you mean
so
I'm
Matt Nathanson,
in?
The Mormon.
You like Jewish guys, you said.
Yeah. He's Mormon.
So Matt Nathanson, the Mormon, with the Jewish mom.
He's Mormon.
I'm in with the
He's
dad.
He's not Mormon.
All right, the Vatican's Archbishop, Claudia blah, blah, blah.
You seem to be brushing over the Matt Nathanson is Mormon thing you were so insistent about two minutes ago.
I still believe that in my heart.
Why?
What really counts.
This is a problem with your character.
What,
when
my
you
character?
Continue to believe something after it's been 100% proven not true.
What's wrong with my character?
Kid, I guess it's time to do your dance.
Yeah, Kelly's wrong dance.
I'm going to call Matt Nathanson.
Matt Nathanson celebrates Hanukkah and Dia de los Reyes.
Yeah.
Live with it.
Because he loves to celebrate other traditions. I go to bar mitzvahs and Passovers, and I am not Jewish.
And she goes to the dollar store, and she's rich.
Yeah.
Okay. What really counts is that the tweets the Pope sends from Brazil or the photos of the Catholic World Youth Day that go up on the Pinterest produce authentic spiritual fruit in the hearts of everyone. So it's not enough just to You have to, like, have results from it.
Here's the thing, Kelly. Every year they have this thing called World Youth Day. Catholic Church does.
I've never heard of it.
I've never once been. It's always in some other country.
All right.
This year I think it's in Brazil.
Oh, wow.
Cool. So is the World Cup.
So if you go to this World Youth Day, back in the 1300s, the church decided or found out or told us that Christ has given the church special powers in the church to forgive sins, right? If a series of things happen to earn absolution, like you have to go to confession. That's the main thing.
Absolution means you are clean from your sins.
You know what absolution is, yeah.
I'm just asking, that means it's all good.
It's a great Muse song.
Is it?
Absolution.
So if you go to this thing in Brazil, there is a mass confession that happens at Catholic Youth Day. So those people are gaining the favor of Christ by being there and by being absolute. They are then fast-tracked to purgatory and spend less time in purgatory before they go to heaven.
But you have to go to purgatory no matter what.
There's a stop in purgatory. It's almost like a life inventory thing. It's like
crossing the border?
It's like a total consciousness, stop in purgatory, and take a look at what you did good and what you did not so good and what you need to work on, and then work on it there in purgatory, and then move on to heaven.
Or
stay in purgatory until you can.
Okay. So nobody goes to hell.
Some do.
Is it weird that there used to be an 18 and up club called purgatory?
Yeah, it is weird. Yeah. They're not related. Purgatory is not an official part of the Catholic afterlife.
The Catholic teaching of it says no one who's in purgatory will remain there forever or go to hell.
Right. If you're in purgatory, you're never going to hell, for sure.
But you can't remain there forever.
But you won't stay forever. You'll stay till you get better.
You said they go to hell. Some of them.
No, I said some do. Some Catholics can go to hell, but if you go to purgatory, you're never going to hell.
Wikipedia is my Bible.
There you go.
Save that.
So they feel that young Catholics are much more likely to participate in World Youth Day now that they can via social media, right? And by following the Pope on Twitter and stuff, and then they can have their own. It's like watching church on TV. As a Protestant, you do that, and you think it counts. They're saying this counts. All right, they're saying this counts, too. That's all it is. You watch the Baptist minister on TV begging for money every Sunday morning, and Catholics can listen to the tweets, read the tweets.
I always felt so left out.
The Pope on Twitter just didn't sound...
Well, it's just reaching out. You know, you got to have young people attracted to the... You know, we had to accept...
Is he verified?
If you want young people,
well,
I won't say that.
I get that. Then there should be amendments to the Bible because the social networking wasn't there when all the stories were written.
There's not amendments.
And so now you're going to, you know what I mean?
Like, there's not amendments, but they have translated into more common slang. I mean, there's a lot of Bibles that are really a lot. You know, my dad's like King James Version, nothing else.
And they had some social media back then. They had Job Book you could get on. And, yeah, it was pretty good. You get friended on Job Book. And, you know, it wasn't bad. Yeah. It's like, you know, Eve had a profile. It's like, it's complicated, you know? So, I don't know. So, okay,
there's that.
Yeah. I follow the Pope on Twitter.
You do?
Yeah.
Does he tweet a lot?
He has 2.7 million followers.
I follow Joel Osteen.
He very rarely tweets.
He's such a feel-good preacher.
You follow Joel Osteen?
Yeah, because he makes me feel good.
Compare him to the Pope.
Why can I not compare him to the Pope?
Fine.
Did somebody give the Pope a Harley or something not too long ago?
I don't know if the Pope has a Harley.
I always get so offended when
you talk about Catholics
in
here.
The thing is...
Because you guys are all so dumb about Catholics.
I listen to
you guys. What do you mean, you guys?
What do you mean? Just because we didn't grow up in the Catholic Church doesn't mean we're dumb.
I grew up in the Catholic Church.
Which means we're ignorant.
Let's have a Hail Mary off,
I'm dumb
kid.
About Baptists.
Boom.
Well, there you go. But I'm not sitting here telling you how angry I am.
I'm not angry.
You just said you're angry at all of us because we're so dumb about Catholics.
I said I don't like talking about it because you start throwing out just a bunch of weird stuff.
You said we're so dumb about Catholics or Catholicism, but I'm not. I mean, I went to Catholic school.
Well, you're not. You went
life.
To Catholic school.
But
yeah.
I'm talking more about Kelly now. I'm admittedly ignorant about it.
Yeah.
I went to Catholic school almost my whole life. And
I studied catechism, and there's a lot of stuff I don't know.
See, and I studied it in Spanish, which is way different than it was here in the States.
And I used to
but just translated
girls.
Into English, and it's the same stuff.
I know. Well, yeah.
I used to hit on those girls with the Catholic school skirt on.
Don't you do that.
I went to Bishop Dunn, dog.
Okay.
So I was at a Catholic school, but these other girls, the Catholic school girl outfit that Brittany was sporting, I mean, I think.
Okay, that's not the point.
Well, I'm just saying, I got a little bit of experience with Catholic people. I've hooked up with some Catholic girls.
Okay, see? Again.
And you're the reason they're spending extra time in purgatory.
I got him in.
Job, Al. front of the line, huh?
Yeah, Al's running the VIP line at Purgatory.
He's the bouncer at Purgatory.
He's the bouncer.
Can I get these girls in? Yeah, girl, you come in here.
Holla. Yeah, you all good.
So we have the pearly gates at heaven. Is there like somebody waiting to greet you at the gates of Purgatory?
I don't know.
Big Al.
Yes, you will have a spiritual teacher that meets you at the gates of Purgatory and review your life and say, you know what? You were unkind to overweight people, so let's work on that.
They're going
to
go over everything?
Yes, it's like
everything.
But you'll be completely objective and have no ego and be able to watch this without judgment and see what will make you a better person.
So you're telling me if Kanye went to Purgatory, he'd have no ego?
Kanye doesn't go to Purgatory because Kanye is God.
No,
there are some that think that Purgatory is actually right here. Now, that's a pretty revolutionary Catholic principle, but some...
Can anyone deny that hell and heaven are both on earth?
Some do believe that all of it's right here, that we're already in it. And some people are in purgatory right here, and some people are in hell right here, and some people are in heaven right here.
Yes.
Why do y'all stand up and sit down so much at Catholic Church?
Okay.
Just like stand up, kneel, stand up.
It's called genuflecting.
Stand up. Yeah. Okay, kneel. And does
that bother you?
Does everybody have to use that little stool down there
behind
the pew?
Like no. Well, it just protects your knees.
Well, when I went to church with my girlfriend, she's Catholic, so I just sat.
You don't have to.
Like when they were doing the kneel thing. I wasn't Catholic, so I didn't want to do anything like
that. And don't go for communion.
I didn't.
Okay.
Unless you're hungry.
Not if you're hungry. No, that's not the criteria.
Unless you're hungry.
That is not the criteria.
And you want a sip of wine.
I'm telling you what, I went to Catholic school. There were 500 of us in Mass every day, and it was like two Methodists and two Jews, and sometimes we were hungry.
Right? And you'd be a little hungover on Sunday morning, and a little wine would put you over the top.
Al. Big Al Mac. You know what? You know that's the body and blood of Christ, and you're making fun of it. You need to stop.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know the Catholics believe it really is the blood, that it's called the transformation, and that it really is the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
So you're making jokes about the blood of the crucified Savior.
We're trying to lighten a polarizing topic.
Yeah.
I don't find lightening up the death of Jesus to be appropriate. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Lightening up?
So
lightening it, lightening in the situation.
Oh, lightning. Yeah. I thought you meant lighting up. Yeah,
Lightning might strike in here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's over there on the right side of the room.
So a Bloody Mary.
Has nothing to do with Mother Mary.
But if you say it 10 times in the mirror with the lights off, you'll see a dead person.
No, they did not make a drink out of Jesus' mother.
I just said I did!
No, Bloody Mary was like a queen, one of the queens that got beheaded, right?
Al, do what you do best. Go to church and direct traffic in the parking lot. That's what you do at church.
Serve the Lord.
You don't need to go in there.
I hadn't done it in a while.
Though. Yeah.
I'm going to be totally honest. I don't want to sit in line and somebody church people can call up. Al, I hadn't seen you in the parking lot in about a year.
Have you ever done Bloody Mary in the mirror 10 times? I can never get to 10.
We did it here on the air.
Yeah, we did it.
We did it on the air. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Well, we had somebody in the shower and jumped out at Shannon and she screamed.
Oh, that's right. We did it in the bathroom. We tried to do light as a feather, stiff as a board. That never worked either.
Okay. All right. Can we move on now to the Billboard Top 5?
Sure. One,
two, three. The Billboard Top 5 on Kid Craddock in the morning.
I'm going to need someone to suck this spider venom out of my hand.
I got
to
go super fast here. We don't have time for that ADD. Chill out.
I have been sitting here trying to get this.
No, I'm not. Turn your mic off.
Everybody's butt channels off.
All right, this is number 5. Top albums. Sold 31,000 copies this week. Florida Georgia Line. Already sitting at number 1 on the country charts.
Okay, you turn it off now.
So I ran into somebody.
Casey's over it.
I'm so over this song.
I ran into somebody at the park the other day, and we're talking. They had a dog, and I'm looking at the dog and stuff. And he goes, I listen to you every morning. And by the way, you're dead wrong about Daft Punk being the best song of the summer.
That's right. That's what I said. Blurred it's
lines.
Not.
And I said, is it Blurred Lines to you? And he goes, no, it's Florida Georgia Line, man.
No.
Of course. And if you're a country fan, it is Florida Georgia Line.
If you're a country fan, and you got Nelly on a song, you're going to say that's the best song of the year.
Yeah.
That's a great summer song.
It is.
Well, when I first saw her,
why are you hating on that? I'm really in the country right now. I'm offended.
I am. I do. I'm a country concert.
Brett Eldridge. Come on.
Just call out a country artist name and say I'm really in the country.
Did you guys see?
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. I have to show you something.
Oh, my God. This is weird.
I'll be right back.
Where are you
never
going
to finish this show today.
No, we're not.
This is the show that never ends. This is purgatory.
I think Kid bought some new underwear and wants to show it.
Are they Mormon underwear?
I have on the underwear that my
Matt
mom
Nathanson is wearing them right now.
No, he's not. He's Catholic and Jewish.
You mention that a lot. Do you wash with everywhere?
Oh, you can see my
his claws up.
Oh, hell. That's what I just saw.
Some people should be happy you can only hear us.
That's penis.
We all just saw Al's, you know what?
On TV and everything.
What happened?
He showed us his underwear and he took him down his flowers over.
The little button in front of the box.
Yeah, okay. So you know how, do you remember how I got into country?
Yeah.
Because I'm really into country right now. How did I get into country?
Because you started listening to church.
I was in San Antonio with Caroline.
Wasn't it like that Wade Bowen
and
guy?
There was a Texas artist that we went to see, Wade Bowen. Yeah. I came back and talked about how great the show was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at what he sent me. This amazing Wade Bowen guitar.
Wow.
It's totally tuned, too.
It's not tuned.
I know, I'm kidding.
Don't hate. And he sent a note, kid. Thanks for all the love and support. God bless. Wade Bowen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I've been talking nice about Eminem for years, and I haven't gotten anything
exactly.
from him.
That's why country artists are better than rap artists.
Right.
Country artists are better to their fans. I have to admit that's true.
And I've said many a good thing about Tim McGraw and nothing from him.
Well, he didn't hear it.
I'm all about Wade Bowen now.
All right. So that's Florida Georgia Line at number 5 on the Billboard Top 5 albums this week. At number 4, we've got Imagine Dragon. Man, this song came out last summer, like last June of a year ago.
Really?
And a surprise hit with one of the slowest climbs in chart history. It peaked in March. It first played last summer, now hitting top 40, reached number 3 nationally in its 42nd week on the charts.
Was it on a TV show or something that made it catch on?
This is how, there's a movie that people have watched about Imagine Dragons. It's free on Netflix and elsewhere, and I think that's helped. And, you know, I don't know, it's just caught on. It's been such a slow build, but that's how you make real money in music business, when your album is on the chart for 42 weeks.
And this is only that cassette, It's Time was their first single, right?
Uh-huh.
And this is just the second one they've released.
Right, Radioactive.
They come to a town near you, they're great.
Good band.
Great live.
Really good
yeah,
band.
Yeah, they're really great. So check them out.
They came up
different
playing festivals and stuff, so they know how to work a crowd, and they're really good live.
You know me and music festivals.
You don't do festivals, right. At number 2 this week on the Billboard charts, it's a new release, just came out and debuts at number 2. It's her first album in who knows how long. Who is this?
Sierra?
Sierra.
That's a good song.
I know this, but she's everywhere right now, and she looks
great.
Well, she's awesome.
She's always had the looks, always.
She did this at the BET Awards, a song, and she's dancing even better than she
used to. See, she used to couldn't dance very well. She's been working on it.
Yeah, she killed it.
And Nicki Minaj is on this, right?
Yeah.
I saw her in 2003 in Vegas at some awards that I was at, and saw her at the Caesars Palace Mall over there in a store. And I'm like, oh, my God, Sierra, that's where I got her cell phone.
Uh-huh. The wrong number?
Yeah, it doesn't work now.
Yeah.
But like everybody in the world was like, this is the next big thing. She will be the biggest star in the world.
It's taking a while.
There was no Rihanna then. Mm. And Rihanna came in about 05 and or 06.
That was before Beyonce.
It was before Beyonce even. Yeah. Destiny's Child was still together.
Well, when I went to LA last summer to interview for that That's My Boy movie, she had a cameo in it. And she kept wanting to talk about her music. And I asked her about it. And we didn't play any of that at the time because it didn't really relate. And even her own manager and the movie people were like, Sierra, talk about the movie. About the movie.
That's not where
the movie that's
is.
Gonna fail, and she's like, no, this album's gonna be great, just wait.
Yeah, that's not where her passion is.
So the album is called Aqua, and the single is I'm Out, and 58,000 copies, debuts at number 2. What kept it from being number 1?
What?
You know,
when you release your album the same week as Jay-Z,
you don't touch that.
Good luck
she's
to you.
She's happy with number 2 then.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. Two. Number 2 is like the other number 1, you know? So Holy Grail. Jay-Z. Sipping from your cup till it runneth over. Holy Grail. Blue told me remind you. What's that y'all talking about? I'm the new. All right, let me bore people about Jay-Z for a second.
Go ahead.
He was just on BBC and was... Jay-Z's always played it pretty close to the vest in what he talks about, but when he does get honest, he's honest.
Yeah.
And he was talking about Timbaland and how he basically kicked Timbaland off the team when they were doing Watching the Throne, because he said Timbaland was more about Timbaland and more about making it about him and his beats. And Jay-Z said, this is a collaborative effort, and if you can't get on board, get out. And he said that on the radio.
Well, he got him back for this album.
And then he came back. He said Timbaland came back to him. I picture like the Black Godfather, you know, like you're going to see Jay-Z.
He's sitting there.
Can I please have a moment of time with
the Godfather music cool in the background?
Hova, and then Hova's like, "You never called me when your children were having me." You
know, I wonder if Justin Timberlake was the intercessor there, because Justin Timberlake's relationship with Timbaland.
That's what it was.
I'm sure that didn't hurt that Jay-Z and Justin are good friends, and Justin's like, "No, Tim's cool, right?" So Tim comes back in and says, "I've grown up. I've matured. I was going through some stuff. And now I'm better, and I'd love to help you on Holy Grail." And he did.
Well, there you go.
And a lot of these songs, Jay-Z said he and Kanye were beefing about. Because Jay-Z would play them for Kanye in Tribeca when they were making Watch the Throne. And Kanye would say, "I want that on the record." And he goes, "Oh, no, dog, that's for the new record. That's for my record." And Kanye's like, "Why are you saving all the good songs for your record?" So he said they actually like had some big fights over that.
Yeah.
But Holy Grail is out. The single is... Holy Grail. The other single that I think is going to be bigger is Tom Ford. Have you heard that? All right, that makes this the second biggest debuting album of the year with 527,000 copies sold. So let me break this down for you. Sierra, number two, 58,000.
Okay.
Jay-Z, number one. 527,000 copies sold.
Big jump.
Second biggest debut for an album this year behind?
JT.
Perfect.
Yo.
How'd you know that, Jason?
He has two.
Justin Timberlake's
right?
my dog.
Yeah, there you go.
Two albums.
Bryce and your guitar.
Huh?
I got to get through those Justin Timberlake albums. Mm-hmm. He has two.
That's the biggest selling album of 2013 right there. Jay-Z has the second biggest debut.
How did Kanye's do?
For the first time, four different rap albums have consecutively held the number one spot. We've had 4 weeks with a rap album at number one. It started with Kanye's Yeezus, then Wale's The Gifted, then J. Cole's Born Sinner, and now Jay-Z Holy Grail.
Yeah.
I know what you're clapping.
I know.
Good job, buddy.
I'm
job.
So proud of you.
I called him Wale.
I'm
not,
so proud of you.
Not Whale.
We got Whale and Tigga and Kid Cutie.
Kid Cutie's the best.
That was the best one.
You guys like Kendrick Lamar? No? Fine.
It's Kid Craddock in the morning. Craddock in the morning.
We share a lot on the show, so I'll go ahead and share this letter that I wrote yesterday to my insurance company.
Uh-oh.
For car insurance. It just says, Dear insurance company, I just got your notice that the premium for my new car insurance is $800 more than you said it would be. $800
wow.
more. You said it's because... you didn't know until you found out that I got a speeding ticket in October of 2011. Therefore, I am a higher risk for a claim. I understand your thinking, but you're dead wrong. Did you also notice that I haven't had a car accident since I was 16 years old? Not one single claim in all these years. I've had a couple incidents. Sure. I backed into a pole. I fix it myself.
Small stuff.
You know why I fix it myself? So you won't try to pull what you're pulling on me now.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the way our relationship works, insurance company, for the last 20 years. I send you money and you give me nothing. And now you want me to give you more. Why? Did I file a claim? No. So why are you charging me more? Oh, you're saying that because I got a speeding ticket almost 4 years ago, I'm a careless driver. And I'm likely to file a huge claim in the future. But again, I haven't had a wreck since I was 16. So to borrow a line from Rain Man, I'm an excellent driver. If I owned an insurance company, I wouldn't care how many tickets you have. I only want to know you're not going to have a wreck and file a claim.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I speed a lot.
So you don't want to put that in
probably
writing.
99% of the time.
Again, don't put that in writing.
It's in there.
I know it is.
But I also know that I'm a much more skilled driver than the majority of the people going the speed limit. I've been to driving school. I once spent half a day at a racetrack in Las Vegas driving a Ferrari. I know what I'm doing. I've taken defensive driving like 100 times.
I'm a responsible drug user.
I've taken defensive driving over 100 times to get out of tickets. And that doesn't count all the times I paid someone to take it for me.
Yeah, you probably don't want to say that.
Think about it. Think about this, insurance company. I'm always driving like 100 miles an hour, and I've never had an accident. You shouldn't raise my premium. You should give me a trophy. please don't reply now. I'm texting you this while I'm on the highway. And I don't want to be tempted to reply. There's my letter to the insurance company.
It's pretty good.
How dare you? Thank you. Doesn't everybody feel that way?
Yeah.
Your premium goes up and you're like, why?
I dropped my insurance company that I had for, man, since I was 16 because I bought a house. And the guy's like, oh, we can get you house insurance.
Yeah.
So I got my home insurance through them. And I found out that it was like 10 times more than other people were paying.
This would be like you're charging me for life insurance, and then you found out that I like to eat ribs once a month, and so you've decided I'm going to die early.
What?
No, you take your statistics and shove them up your butt, because I haven't had a wreck since I was 16.
You want to know his...
Isn't that all you care about?
But didn't you have like a pretty substantial speeding ticket?
Whatever.
And you talked about it on the radio.
Not on my record. It's not on my record.
Maybe he's a listener and he hears you talk about speeding and going infinity in the left lane.
He's a listener.
Does it change depending on the car you're driving?
Sure. It's collision damage. So if the car is expensive, then it costs more. But this is the same car. They just decided to raise it $800. Why?
Well, they're probably in response a lot to insurance fraud. They got to cover their butts, too, for people. You know, you're paying the price for other people. That's why things cost more at the store, because of shoplifters. They got to cover their losses.
So what white folks
shoplifters.
Do, man? They raise prices.
So what they do is they highlight, like, oh, we only take on good drivers who have no accidents and no tickets. Hmm. Well, I get that, but just stop at no accidents, because you're in the business of not paying people. That's all you guys want to do is take our money and not give any of it back.
Yeah.
I'm perfect. I've never taken a penny from you.
I'm perfect.
No, I'm a perfect customer for an insurance company. I have never once filed a claim.
I haven't
either.
You're
waiting for the big, you know, you're saving it for the big claim, right? That's the truth.
Yeah. I've basically given away money for the last 12 years, 13 years, 14 years that I've been driving.
Insurance is one of those things, like, if you don't use it, you should consider yourself fortunate, but you actually consider yourself unlucky. Like, because I'm paying all this money, I've got nothing for it.
Sometimes I feel like I need to run into a wall for a second just to get a little bit of that money
back. Give me my money back.
Yeah.
I can't wait till it's my last day of driving. Insurance company, I'm coming after you, old man. I'm taking out 14 cars at once.
I'm taking out a Bugatti.
Yeah, exactly.
When exactly are you deciding?
I'm going to drive to a classic car show. And just bam, bam, bam,
all of them.
When exactly do you decide today is my last day of driving?
When I'm 80.
That day.
My 80th birthday.
When I'm at a classic car show. Yeah.
On my 80th birthday, I'm ramming every single expensive car I see on the road.
Absolutely.
Sorry about that.
Why not?
My fault, my bad.
So,
my insurance card.
If you would like a copy of my insurance letter to send to your insurance company, let me know and I'll put it up on Facebook for you. Because it's blurring the issue. The issue is not what have you done, speeding tickets, or did you ever have this happen or that. The question is, are you going to wreck and are we going to have to pay for it? You have years and years and years of evidence that with me, no, I'm not. Knock on wood. But today will be the day.
Today will be the day.
Somebody's probably just going to broadside me
Is
that Kid Craddock?
Bam. Just to screw up my record. So, that's all I wanted to say. It shouldn't be about tickets. Have I had tickets?
Well, but that's...
Yes, hundreds. I can't believe my license isn't suspended.
Doesn't mean you should have to pay more for insurance.
That doesn't mean I should have to pay more for insurance.
They don't have to pay for your ticket.
Well, kind
of. Here's the difference, insurance company. You need a category, okay? Safe. Here's your category. They get in wrecks. They don't get in wrecks. They're really good drivers here.
Don't you think that
they have a lot of tickets, but they don't get in wrecks.
People who get tickets like you, a bunch of them, are more at risk to get in an accident. That's
That's their point. It's a reckless
and it's true.
Theory.
Okay, then let me give you a theory.
Go ahead.
Let's say they change the speed limit to 20 miles an hour for everywhere.
Oh, no.
What would be the likelihood that you would have a wreck? Almost zero, right?
Zero.
Because you've been driving at higher speeds your whole life.
Yeah.
That's me. I've been driving 100 every day.
Wow.
The speed limit's 55.
What a spin.
So
what a spin. Spin master.
But it's a scientific thing. It's like your reaction. It's maybe not you being a bad driver. It's other people. Your reaction time to someone else is shortened.
I'm good at it.
It's all of these people getting out of your way when you're coming barreling down the freeway at 100. They're getting out of the way. They're having accidents. You got to
I've avoided so many accidents just by driving on the shoulder or going around people. That are too slow.
I mean, thank God for you, kid.
I remember when we rode somewhere with you, him and I are like texting loved ones just in case, you know. It was almost like the plane was going down.
I text Kinsey, I'm like, I love you, and she's like, why, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm like,
I just love you.
You're gonna get there quicker though. And my history shows you're gonna get there safely.
And the thing with Kid is that he'll be going super fast and weaving in and out of traffic.
Yeah.
And you're sitting in the passenger seat or in Jenna's case in the back seat and you're just, your knuckles are white.
It's because you don't have control of the wheel
and
like
Kid's
I do.
Sitting there going like, yeah, so I was watching this TV show looking at you.
No, he's not like, looking at you. He's Instagramming.
Yeah, he's like, he's all nonchalant.
He's Instagramming his felony speeding.
He's as calm as can be. And you, meanwhile, you can't even speak because you're scared to death.
If NASCAR had a rule where they were going to penalize their drivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would they penalize them for driving fast or for wrecking other people's cars? Thank you. Insurance should be the same way. Penalize us for wrecking.
They do.
Not for speeding, not for running red lights. I've done a few of those. Look.
That's the number one cause for accidents is running red lights.
Here's what I look for at a light. Here's what I look for at a stoplight. Not the color of the light.
Yeah.
I look for the cameras.
Me too.
And if there's no cameras,
cops.
There's
cameras
no colors.
Be honest, Kelly.
Cameras and cops.
On the way to work
no
in the
cameras
morning,
equal no colors.
On the way to work in the morning, I will run every single red light. But I will make sure
you
there's
hear
no
that, insurance company?
I'll make sure there's nobody behind me. I'll stop. I'll completely stop and make sure nobody's coming, and then I'll run it.
I do too, man. Then I find myself, if I make that same little loop, go the same route as I do for work, I run the light again because I'm just in the habit of running that light.
Kelly, when was your last car accident that you were, not that you were responsible for, that you were in and you had to file a claim with the insurance company?
Never.
Never in your life. Big Al.
It's been a 10-15 years.
So you've had one.
Yeah, I have had one, but it's been a
wait,
long time.
Wait,
drive slower than any pedestrian.
Yeah. I'm a cruiser.
Yeah. Mine was just last year.
You had one last year.
Remember that guy Wang hit me and I memorized his license plate?
Oh, yeah.
That guy's what?
And he drove off.
Ben Dang Ow. Yeah.
Something wrong.
Yeah.
I've had where somebody did something to my car, but their insurance paid for it. So that didn't count.
No, that
I don't
count.
Get penalized for that.
File.
Yeah, that's what happened with me.
Like somebody ran into my car. Mm-hmm. I was parked in a parking lot, and I heard this crunching. And for some reason, I'm inside the restaurant, and I just knew it was my car. Yeah. You had that feeling?
JC,
it was.
The last time you like called the insurance company and said you have to fix it.
I have never.
Never.
Ever.
So we think of how much money we give every year for that.
Yeah.
And then they raise your rate. Did I have a wreck?
No.
Then why?
Credit? How's your credit?
Credit's great.
Credit also plays a part.
Yeah, it does, right?
They decide because I don't pay my bills that I'm a bad driver? No. You know what? I'm a great driver because I can get the hell out of there when they're trying to repossess my car. Come on.
That's so logical.
Thank you.
Man.
I'm going to start an insurance company only for people who have at least 10 tickets and no accidents. Because that shows you know what you're doing out there.
Yeah.
You can go really fast and never have a wreck. You know what you're doing.
Fast lane insurance.
I'm not looking for you slow-ass people that don't know what they're doing. You're the ones that are going to have wrecks. I'm going 100. I got to be paying attention.
I just realized I still don't have a license.
You're going 50 in the fast lane, texting, on the phone, talking to your girlfriend. You're the one's going to have a wreck, not me. I'm the one flying around you and then pulling in front of you and slamming on my brakes. Because I'm mad at you.
Brake check.
Thank
Brake
you.
Brake check.
What do you think? Think they'll lower it? Think they'll see my logic?
I think you're, totally.
It's probably
I
over.
I mean, I would.
Yeah, thanks.
It's Kid Craddock in the morning.
Basketball superstar LeBron James didn't just go back-to-back with the championships. He's now gone back-to-back at the ESPYs.
Yeah.
Didn't he win, like, the best athlete of the year?
He won best male athlete, and he also won best team.
Best team?
Yeah, for being on the Miami Heat. They won last year, and they won again this year.
That's funny. They give out best team, and they just give it to him, which would be appropriate.
Well, you know it is the Miami LeBrons.
Yeah, right.
Here's the thing, Kid Craddock. The ESPYs have started inviting a lot of celebrities to be there. John Hamm hosted. Selena Gomez was there. A lot of celebrities presenting. And me, who loves celebrities as much as I do, wasn't even interested enough to watch.
Yeah.
You didn't watch it all?
Because it's still awards about sports.
Right. And I don't know anything about sports.
Like if you said, okay, who wins between Dwight Howard and Dwayne Wade?
Okay, let me just guess. Dwight Howard and Dwayne Wade are basketball players.
You got it.
Yes.
Okay, but I could not tell you what teams they play for.
So if it's between Miguel Cabrera and Adrian Peterson.
I'm going to guess because it's Miguel, I would say soccer.
Baseball.
No, it was baseball.
And Adrian Peterson.
Good guess.
Well, I'm guessing it's another baseball player.
Football.
Yeah.
That was for best male athlete.
This is why you shouldn't watch.
That's why I don't watch. But, you know, I still love red carpets and celebrities on red carpets. And I've seen a few pictures after the fact. And I think, you know, some of them did pretty okay.
Well, speaking of red carpets, I think LeBron James was wearing it. Did you see that tux?
Yeah, he said tux.
So
I love the tux. It was just the suit jacket was my size, I think.
Really?
It was way too short.
Isn't that fitting. The new trend? Because I know a lot of the guys are wearing high water pants and shorts. Yeah. That might be a new trend, just is looks, wearing shrunken outfits.
Looks
I
weird.
Think they wore it because they got it free from Robert Graham.
Red was definitely the color du jour on the red carpet. I'm not sure why Selena Gomez looked good in her red. Mm-hmm. LeBron kind of freaked me out in his red.
I loved what Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars was wearing. It's like liquid metal and all those pretty colors.
I just love
iridescent.
Cheryl Burke. Yeah.
Do you guys remember that Catherine Webb?
Yeah, she was there.
From Splash. Now, Big Al, I know you have a crush on Lolo Jones.
I love that yellow dress she had on.
You did? Really?
I did. Yeah, I like anything Lolo Jones wears.
You like that thing?
Yeah.
She always looks like such a boy trying to dress up as a girl and like she's miserable.
Don't you call my girl a boy.
You know, best dress on the dude side?
Who?
Colin Kaepernick. And Adrian Peterson both look cool to me.
Yeah.
Which of those two, in your opinion, is the best male lovemaker?
I
know you always have an opinion on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'd go probably Colin Kaepernick.
It's funny you say that because USA Today said Colin was among the worst dressed.
Yeah. Really? Yes. They didn't like his. He was
red, white, and blue.
Like a flag.
They didn't like that.
He looked like a flag.
Yeah, red America. Jacket.
Okay.
But speaking of that Adrian Peterson that you told me was an athlete that I wouldn't recognize.
One of the best running backs ever.
He was considered one of the best dressed. See? That was a sharp suit.
I got one right then. That's good.
There you go. You know how I've always said that the guys in Hollywood are the most famous are the shorter guys?
Uh-huh.
That's kind of given me some comfort. It was never more evident than at the ESPYs. Take Kevin Bacon and put him up there with Maria Sharapova.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a tiny little like a little baby. Yeah. I mean, she's so tall and he's so short.
Yeah.
And then Tate Donovan went out there with Kerry Walsh, the Olympic volleyball player.
Yeah.
She's like 6'9", you know, and he's like 5'2".
Yeah, plus they wear heels on top of that.
Yeah. Right.
I still think Serena would be the scariest to present with.
Yeah.
Well, you can't tell if it's Serena Williams or Ray Lewis. I mean, it's scary.
What?
Why?
Nice.
Why?
I'm just kidding.
That's so mean.
You're so mean, JC. She's very disappointed because she lost in both best female and best male athlete.
What?
You're listening to the Kid Craddock in the Morning podcast,
a condensed version of the show.
Kid Craddock in the Morning.